This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasothi. It's our health and living segment and we have personal trainer Karen Siao back in the studio. It's been a while since we had you on, Karen. And today we're discussing, are kids sitting too much? British scientists have suggested that children now stop exercising around the age of 7. We always thought that when they hit adolescence, that's when they actually start to slow down. But looking at this study, they are actually stopping at the age of 7. And it coincides with the peak rate of obesity cases amongst children in the UK, which happens around that age of 7. So we want to find out a little bit more about what's really going on. Karen Sia, I know Karen has had one or two kids that she has actually worked with. Some of the challenges she's gone through, one of the producers was just telling me that she knows of a personal trainer whose parents just get them to come and take the kids out, and all they need to do is take the kids to a park to play, right? Which, in a way, is the world going to towards is what we're discussing. Our phone number, phone lines are open. The number is 0377 109000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp us on 0162019000 if you have a question on children, obesity and fitness. Karen, what did you think of that study by the British people?
Well, I wasn't surprised. And even though that study is done by the people in the UK, I think it's quite apparent here in Malaysia as well. And I think it won't be surprising to see that this actually escalate some more in the future if we don't do something about it.
Yeah, and by the age of 7, that's very, very young. Sitting, of course, is replacing physical activity. That's from the time children start school. And even now, if you go to certain preschools, you will find them already in classroom-based classes. Learning in that way. They're not playing, they're not moving very much because it's so academically based. How long do you think children should get some sort of exercise in a day? How long should it be? Is it an hour, at least an hour?
I would say at least an hour, but it doesn't have to be an hour at a go. Kids are generally built for physical activity. They are very active people. They have a lot of energy and it should be that way. If they accumulate things like walking around, running around, walking to and from anywhere, like maybe their house to the neighbor's house or things like that, and then moving around in the evenings as well, maybe helping out with their parents with walking the dog or gardening. If you accumulate all that, I think 60 minutes is quite easy to achieve. It's just that I know that our environment these days are not as safe as what they used to be. But I think if we, like I said, accumulate all these little pockets of time where they can actually do some physical activity, 60 minutes a day is very doable.
Okay. And have you been approached by parents to take the kids out and get them moving?
Yep. I've been asked to do PT, personal training, for kids as young as 8, 9 years old as well.
Okay. And what does personal training for kids entail?
Technically, it should be customized for that kid. Some kids have certain conditions that we need to look at. They love to play, that much we know. They don't have very long attention span, so I would say nothing more than 40-45 minutes. And lots of fun and games. It has to be always fun for them.
Must be terribly tiring for
it you. It is, actually. It really is.
Adults, you just stand there and count. And
exactly.
You do all the hard work. But I know you have had one or two kids that you have trained. What have been some of your challenges?
Keeping it fun all the time, that would be number one challenge. But a lot of the time, when parents get a personal trainer to train their kids, it's because they themselves don't have the time to bring their kids out for sports or any sort of activity outside. And that itself shows that they probably don't have time to sit down and talk to their kids as well. It's all just a matter of communication breakdown. So I've had problem with some children who clearly does not have enough time spent with their parents. So they, whatever frustration they have or whatever problems they're going through, they take it out on the personal trainer because they already don't like being told to do certain things, right? So sometimes personality wise, you can tell that a kid is frustrated with whatever it is at school or anything at home, and they take it out on us. So it's quite difficult to get through to them if they have the sort of mindset. And kids, as you know, their mindset are quite set in a way. You can't change it overnight. It has to be like a gradual approach. You have to win their trust. So me being not a parent, I find that quite challenging.
Now that's quite sad, isn't it? That this job now has to be sort of outsourced.
Yes, correct.
To just get them playing. And I suppose the only thing that they're concerned about is probably safety. And to have a personal trainer there as well is somebody to keep an eye on them. But activities outside school have an important role to play as well, because children only spend like half the year at school in total, if you think about it. Even schools are not doing enough, if you ask me, right? Some lack equipment, some don't even have a proper school field.
That's right.
Does that really matter?
As far as I know, public schools these days, I think their sports day or their Hari Sukan is quite early in the year. I think it's probably March, April, something like that. And what happens after that is the moment Hari Sukan is over, all forms of activity outdoors just stop and everything is just focused on academics, right? I'm not sure about the international school curriculum, but they would probably have higher physical activity ongoing throughout the year compared to public schools. I think that for kids, it is very important for them to be among their peers, which is why I don't really encourage one-to-one personal training for children under the age of 12, because they should be comparing themselves with kids their age rather than what I can do compared to them. And I think, like what you said, physical activity after school hours, it's very, very important. Things like, I don't know, soccer class, badminton class, or any sort of classes that they can go for together with a coach is very important, but I don't know why it's still not being picked up by many people that we know.
Doing it as just physical education versus doing it competitively, is there a big difference?
And
I know some parents who push their children to go competitive when. And it's very demanding on the child. I mean, I understand many of them have potential. But for those who are not interested, it can become a chore.
Yeah. So there will be those parents who, I believe they themselves were athletes when they were younger. So they pushed their kids to go for example, triathlon sessions, triathlon coaching or swimming coaching from a very young age. And you will see some kids who will really ace it and really go far in the sport, but there are some kids who do not quite like that sort of thing. And as kids, they change their mind quite often. And I think these days, parenting styles are quite different as well. It's no longer, okay, you must learn piano, you must learn swimming, you must learn art. It's more like they let their child choose. So they try for a week or two and then they change. But what parents should know is that kids need encouragement as well. So just giving up at the first sign of failure, like, oh, I didn't win today at soccer, I don't want to go anymore, it's not the way. They need to actually encourage them and tell them that it's okay if you fall down, stand back up, go again next time, try again. And I think parents need to encourage children to go for slightly more competitive things and teach them the spirit of competition, the spirit of winning and losing, the team spirit, that sort of stuff that I think people who engage in sports at that age, this spirit carries on to a later age in life.
It helps build character, isn't it? That's for sure. What are your thoughts on children taking part in marathons, triathlons? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's actually really good. Of course, it's not a cheap sport. Things like triathlons especially, it's not a very cheap sport, but it's definitely a very good sport for kids to go into. But one thing we need to know is that children and adults are very different physically. While we adults, we can train ourselves to do endurance sports, things like 5, 10, 15, 20, 42 kilometers, kids generally, they should work on their power and speed more than endurance. So there are a lot of kids triathlons out there. I think a lot of international schools organize them. And I think it's a great way to get kids to learn just discipline to train themselves for a certain goal or for a certain target. And these distances are short, nice and short, just suitable for kids. Kids don't understand the meaning of I need to continue running for an hour. To them, it doesn't make sense. So to push them to run 5, 10 kilometers, it's not really suitable. But to go 1, 2 kilometers or a quick 500 meter run, that's more suitable for kids age 10 and below, for example.
Okay, so mental endurance not as important to them as compared to power and speed. Whereas for the adults, mental endurance can be quite something that gets you past that extra mile. I mean, you do the Ironman. I have no idea how you do it, Karen. You're going to do it again this year?
Yep, I'm planning to do one in September this year.
Why do you want to do it? What keeps you going? I mean, you've done one in 2015 and you're going to do one this year, but why?
Well, for starters, my husband's going to do it this time, so kind of want to do it together with him. And but it's just it's a different ball game. It's going to be in a different country. The temperature is a bit cooler. I actually have to purchase a wetsuit, so it's different challenges again. And I think after taking a year off, I just want new challenges again.
Where is that going to be held?
It's going to be in Korea.
Ah, yeah. So you did the Putrajaya one.
Langkawi
in 2015. And Korea 2017.
Yes.
Interesting, Karen. We will be following you just to figure out what's going on. We were talking about marathon triathlons, competitive sports versus just playing. But what about for children who really have no interest? What are their options? We'll come back and find out up next. I think a lot of our children now are just, you know, have very happy with their gadgets, and to get them up and going can be quite a chore. That's coming up next. If you have a question for Karen, give us a call. The number is 03 77 109 000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 016 201 9000. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sevasothi. It's our health and living segment, and personal trainer Karen Sia in the studio with me. We are discussing our children and exercise and obesity. Recent study which was published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine, it suggests that adolescents are now, we always thought that adolescents, when children hit adolescence, they actually come off exercise, but the findings tell you now that it happens much earlier, around the age of 7. And that happens to be the age in which British children peak rate of obesity. And I'm sure, Karen, you were saying that you wouldn't be surprised if it's the same thing even here in Malaysia. Earlier on, we spoke about technology and how that's making a lot of us more sedentary. We have Nintendo Wii. I've always thought it's for losers. Sorry for those of you who think that's exercise. I don't know, Karen, you tell me. What do you think?
I think that if you live in an environment that is really not conducive for your children to go out and play, then at least that is something. The thing with children is a lot of it is emotional based. They do something if they like it, and they don't do something if they don't like it. And like you said, it can be very challenging to persuade them, to motivate them to go out and do something. I think that a lot of it stems from the parents themselves. If they are not putting in the effort to show the kids that this is a healthy way to live, and this is what this is how it can be fun, then I think kids will also, you know, take follow their lead and do what they ask them to do. So Nintendo Wii, if you really can't go outside, I know some people who, if they live in an environment whereby there's no safe haven to go out and play, then why not? I don't see anything wrong with that. But there are plenty of things that we can also do indoors without actually having to go outside. And just simple things like putting on a YouTube channel that has exercise for children, aerobics for kids. Kids love their YouTube. I know kids who are 2 years old who can use their fingers and swipe so quickly. They know how to unlock any mobile phone around. So they love that. They love their YouTube. They love to watch videos. And there are plenty of videos there that can actually encourage and motivate kids to get up, dance around, jump around, which is all very good for children, actually.
How do us adults get the children involved in exercise routines? Because I go to the gym, for an example, but then there's an age limit at the gym. They don't allow children in there. So, you know, sometimes I walk in the area and then they come with me, you know, but not everybody has that, the liberty of, you know, space and a safe area to walk around. How do we include them in our exercise routine?
Which is why I think that things like kids triathlon or kids runs or family runs, these are good activities for family as a whole to join. It could just be, it doesn't have to be every weekend. As we all know, time is always a factor here and we don't always have the time. But allocating some time, say once every 2 weeks, to just bring the kids out for a friendly game of badminton or soccer or basketball would really help to encourage kids to be active. I'm sure a lot of kids would love to beat their parents at something. They would love to brag about how they managed to beat their mom or beat their dad at something, or throw the ball into the basket or something like that. So these are actually very healthy family bonding times that people can actually include in their calendar. Like I said, I know time is always a factor, and we don't always have that luxury of time, but scheduling it every 2 weeks would be really good to kind of also get everybody together and just create that bond. And also, it's all good habits, good active habits to culminate. Yeah,
I think we need to get motivated first. And
correct.
One of the ways I find for us to be committed adults is to commit to something, which is a family run, for an example, in end of April. Then we have no choice but to get everyone going.
Correct.
So it forces us to get going, and as a result, everybody else has to come along, right?
Yeah.
You just don't want it to be a chore at any stage.
Correct.
I suppose. Yeah. Weather can be a challenge. What are your thoughts on the Malaysian weather?
Right now, it's searing hot outside.
Now it is. But then, you know, in an hour's time, it'll start chucking down.
Yeah.
And you can never plan.
Correct. I think we do the best we can with weather here. I mean, just like us training for the Ironman as well, we need to pick and choose the best times possible, and sometimes don't give up on an opportunity to go out and run. Like you see, even if it's a little bit hot, but at least it's not raining or it's not hazy, might as well put on your shoes and go out and run right now. The swimming pool is always a good place to go to. Rain or shine, it's still quite okay to jump into the pool, as long as there's no lightning and thunder, as long as there's a lifeguard at bay. You know, it's always a good place to go. Otherwise, indoor sports like badminton, what else? You can also do just like bowling, archery, things like that. It's still an activity, even though it's not too cardiovascularly demanding. But at least it's an activity. It gets the kids moving. It gets the kids excited.
I think as parents, we also are a huge deterrent. I've heard the statements being made by mothers in the school when it comes to sports day, don't bother going, like, you go dark. Don't bother going and taking part. So the school makes them commit, but then they just won't turn up on that day.
Wow.
You know, because they don't want to. Parents don't push because they think it's about, you know, it's not important. The other thing is when they sit, you know, for O levels, the year of SPM or, you know, PMR or whatever, then it's like the whole year you cannot do any sport because you have to concentrate on your studies. But you don't understand that the exercise helps with stress management.
Correct.
Gets their mind off things and they come back more fresh. You know, it's a whole lot of advantage. And, you know, nothing's going to happen if they go up and run or do something, isn't
it?
Yeah. When you talk about, then of course we worry about things like injuries. And the orthopedic surgeons who come on the show always say, children are not small adults, right? We always think children are small adults. They're not. They're developing. So what should we take into consideration when it comes to their exercise and injury and the fact that they're actually developing.
Yep, you're very right. Children are not small adults. They're actually very different in terms of their physical body itself and their physical ability. For starters, children, especially really young children, they dehydrate very quickly. They sweat a lot. They dehydrate very quickly. So keeping them hydrated all the time is actually very important, especially in our climate like this. Make sure that they have enough water, enough juice in their bodies for them to be active. They are very prone to injuries, but mainly because they forget about, you know, if they're playing with the ball, playing with their friends, they forget about proper running technique and all that. All that's out the window. They just want to have fun. But what we adults need to show them is that it's okay to kind of have a tumble, get up again. If it's, you know, if it's a sprain, go and see a physio. Kids fall down and tumble all the time. Minor injuries is fine. The more deterring injury, or rather something that would deter them more, would be to check out their children's posture as they're still growing. Things like scoliosis or bow-legged or anything that you find is making them uncomfortable to go and do a physical activity, you should get that checked out. See a physiotherapist or a chiropractor, whichever suits you best, and then get a diagnosis, and then from there work on that. Because I know of many children who go and see, let's say if they take gymnastics or ballet, and then they find that they have constant backaches, and then they go and see a chiropractor or a physiotherapist, and then they find out that they're scoliotic. These things can be managed if they had gone in earlier from a younger age, say at 5 or 6 years old. And then they can do the proper stretching and the proper strengthening to enable them a longer career in whatever sport they want to do.
I mean, I know a professional dancer who has scoliosis, and the dancing has actually helped her to a certain extent. At home, can we get like cheaper or cost-effective equipment, or, you know, just an exercise ball sometimes helps, right? What else besides the exercise ball?
Kids under the age of 12, I don't recommend them carrying any weights, to be honest, because like you said, they're still growing, their muscles are still developing. What they need is just to be able to jump, to be able to run, to be able to turn around, sit down, get up, lie down, get up, things like that. So as long as you have a mat and you have a basketball and you have some Skittles or some cones and you can create a simple obstacle course for them, that's actually really great. They don't need any weights. They don't need any barbells or dumbbells. They're good on their own. Teaching them body weight exercises like sit-ups and push-ups, teaching them the right technique. If you are unable to teach that technique, then get a personal trainer just for maybe 4 or 5 sessions. Just to get those basic foundation exercises in would be good. And then once they know how to do that, and once you know how to coach them to do that, then you can take it from there. And then you don't have to have a personal trainer with you for 20, 30 sessions for your kids, because the kid is going to get bored of the personal trainer.
Yeah, of course. Strength training, so you wouldn't recommend it?
I wouldn't recommend weights until maybe at least after they've had like a growth spurt. And then you kind of take on more heavy weights.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it needs guide. You need to be guided.
Correct.
I suppose. Okay. And when we have a question, here, but before I ask that question, it's related to what I wanted to ask you, which is diet.
Okay.
Does diet matter more than the exercise when it comes to obesity?
Of course.
More than the exercise?
Yes, because kids are growing and kids need a lot of nutrients, sometimes even more than adults do, the right kind of nutrients. And more than anything else is culminating good eating habits from a young age.
Do you find kids have very bad eating habits in this country?
I think that it varies. There are very health-conscious parents who ensure that kids eat nothing but organic food and things like that, which is a little bit too extreme as well, because you cannot be, taking away simple things like chocolates and sweets for kids, which they can enjoy every now and then. And some parents are just too busy to kind of watch whatever their kids are eating, and they just eat like chicken nuggets and chocolate all day, and that's not good as well. So I think, yes, of course, diet does matter, but more importantly, not just what they eat, but that they know what they're eating and they know what is good and what's not good. So it's just sitting down with them and educating them that you can take these things, but in moderation. And what kids need is to culminate the habit of eating a lot of vegetables and fruits from a young age.
Mm-hmm. And that means we need to eat our vegetables and fruits. Somebody commented here on WhatsApp, sleep deprivation causes obesity in children, and they feel Malaysian children lack sleep, so they cannot exercise or even eat properly. Would you agree?
Yes, I think I just had this talk with some of my relatives recently, and we said that anybody under the age of 15 don't sleep earlier than 2 a.m. And I said, really? So that to me was something new, but I guess I'm not completely surprised by that fact. I think that whatever it was. But
you have to understand, Karen. I mean, you can just have your gadget in bed with you.
Correct.
And it can go on and on. Even yeah. Up to 2 a.m.
So I think that, again, parents have to play a role in giving them certain curfews, I would say, to when they can have their gadgets and when they don't. And I know it's becoming increasingly challenging to do that, especially since I heard schools are even giving homework out on WhatsApp and things like that. So the kids need to always be online and always be in touch with whatever that's happening. But yeah, just constant monitoring and making sure that kids do get enough sleep. I do agree that sometimes sleep deprivation is the cause for it's the cause for fatigue, which in a way it causes obesity, because kids don't want to do a lot of physical activity when they're not, you know, active.
Of course. Yeah. So if you had your way, what is a well-rounded physical regime for children?
I would say sign up your kids for a sport that takes up once or twice a week sessions. Could it be badminton, soccer, or something like that? And on the other days, get them out to the park. When I was growing up, my mom used to give me a time, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. was when we could go out to the back of our house, meet our neighbors and play. If you live in a community where you have a lot of neighbors with children around the same age, then yeah, get them going out. If you have a maid or a helper to help you out to watch over the kids, then maybe you can take turns, talk to your neighbors. I'm sure that they'd be happy to also take turns to just kind of bring the kids out in the evening, even if it's just for 30 to 45 minutes. It will do the kids wonders. They'll be a lot more energetic, and they'll be, of course, like you said, able to manage stress at school and at home as well much better.
Yep. Do you think gymnasiums should open up for children? As in allow parents to exercise and have the children exercising maybe in a separate area or something?
I think that there are gyms which do that, to be honest. I think they have special classes where parents can work out with their kids. There are age limits though, so there could be, I think, parents and toddlers, parents and young children, I think only until the age of 8. And yeah, there are classes out there that you can actually go for, that you can work out with your kids. I think it's difficult when there's a lot of machines around for kids to be, because kids can be a bit careless when they run around, and also it's a bit dangerous for children to be there. But yeah, if they can allocate maybe just a weekend, say from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., just an hour whereby they open up one of the studios for parents to work out with their children, I think that would be really great.
Do you think we've become desperate now? I think we are. and I really think we need to put in place desperate measures to get kids going, because you think about obesity rates and then diabetes and all of that.
Correct,
in the long run.
Yeah.
I have a suggestion, actually. I mean, we give out academic homework to children to get done over the weekend or whatever. I think we should start dishing out physical homework as well. that way, you have to get it done. And parents need to be committed as well, because it affects your overall performance.
Correct. Right? I think, first of all, making it count, making physical activity count as part of their curriculum, that would be a big step. And then parents would realize that, hey, this is important as well, rather than just looking at the grades. Because there's so many kids who, I used to teach part-time at a private school. And when it comes to physical education, they said, this is not important, it's not going to affect my grades. So I think that is not right. I think that it should have some weight bearing for their overall grade at the end of the year. And I think once parents see that, parents will also encourage them to do so.
Yeah, and they won't have to worry about the children getting darker. Yes. And they would get their vitamin D that they need.
Correct.
Which we are deficient now. It'll fix a lot of problems going forward. What's your message, Karen, on kids sitting around too much?
It's like having a dog. If your dog is fat, most likely you are
the
too.
The owner is, yes,
yes,
I know. My beagle is overweight, but you know, I'm watching her diet.
Same thing with children. It starts from you. And if you can, I know that there are many parents who are very active and their kids are not, but there has to be that communication to your kids. So if you can encourage and you can motivate your children to be active just like you, then we can definitely curb obesity.
Yes, we're desperate. Come on, physical homework. Let's get going. Thank you very much for joining
Thank
us
you.
Today. That was personal trainer Karen Siar talking to us about our overweight children and exercise on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.